Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Do you remember how good sex was in college? I do. And today I bring you one of my own true stories called College Sex. Beach Bobby and I used to go out on his Hobie Cat and have sex on the catamaran. For birth control, Beach Bobby and I used the pull-out method. Definitely not 100% effective and messy. Beta Bob and I used to have sex in his dorm room on a twin bed underneath the Christy Brinkley poster. For birth control, we also used the pull-out method. So messy. What can I say? I was a people pleaser. Today on Storyworthy, I bring you one of my own true stories, a closet confessional. And this one is about college sex. Stay close. Hey, it's Christine Blackburn, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from my closet in Los Feliz, California. That's right, today is a closet confessional. As you know, I bring my own true stories to you guys about once a month, and this is the ninth one. If you haven't heard the other ones, you should go back in the catalog and listen. And I'm so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story that just dropped this past Monday with writer Ian Gervitz and his story, Jokes and Death. It was just an amazingly well-told story about writing for television and Hollywood and the death of Ian's mom. Now, if you're at all interested in how television writing works in this town, I'm telling you, this is the episode for you. Ian just has so much information and really an insightful behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to be in the writer's room. But today I'm going to tell you guys one of my own true stories. That's right, like I said, it's a closet confessional. Now, my story today is kicking it way back to my high school and college days. And man, if I only knew then what I know now. But I guess that's life, right? I mean, that's like the whole thing. We all have to learn along the way. No one is born knowing the answers. We all have to make these mistakes. It sucks. I mean, the only respite is to realize that everyone else has issues, you know? I mean, maybe some of the same issues that you have, or maybe different issues, but everybody knows heartache. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows loneliness. Anyway, I'm always really appreciative when you guys listen to my closet confessionals, and give me a shout out and let me know what you think. You can shoot me an email at info@storyworthypodcast.com. And again, thank you so much for your ongoing support, you guys. Of course, I really, really appreciate it. And if you think about it, tell a friend about Storyworthy, and it's easier than ever to listen to Storyworthy, as you know, because you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and now Storyworthy's on Spotify. Did you know that? Well, now you do. And if you want to learn more about me, you can go over to ChristineBlackburn.com. All right, you guys, here we go. Here's something I hate to admit. Growing up, I wasn't very smart. Academically, that is. I never applied myself, and I skipped school all the time. I missed 27 days of school my senior year of high school. Nobody ever told me I should study for the SATs, so I didn't. I scored an 850 on my SATs, you guys. That's like a 55%, and I'm probably wrong. I barely graduated from high school and only got into Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because my father worked there as an accountant. My four older sisters and my brother all attended Duquesne, and I always knew I'd go there. Now, unfortunately, I was the same kind of student in college as I was in high school. I didn't apply myself, and I skip class all the time. Or I just leave early. For example, for my Christian Understanding of the Human Person class, it was a Catholic university, I lied to my professor, who was a priest, and I told him I had a job downtown and I had to leave class 15 minutes early every day to get to work. But really, I just needed the time to run across campus and get back to my dorm room before the Beverly Hillbillies started at 2:30.
And listen to my story about a man named Jed.
But my social life, that was quite different. That was working out very well. I was a 17-year-old freshman, and I was getting a lot of attention. And I liked attention. I knew two things. I knew I wanted to sleep with guys to keep their attention, and I knew I didn't want to get pregnant. So I decided to go to Planned Parenthood for contraception, and I took the city bus across town to East Liberty, a seedy part of Pittsburgh, to get to the clinic. Now, the office was bright and airy, and everyone was really kind and matter-of-fact. The office visit was less than $20, and the birth control pills were free. I remember thinking that if birth control were made this available for everyone in the world, we wouldn't have any unwanted pregnancies. So you see, I was sort of smart. I left the clinic that day feeling very mature with my little circular pack of pills. Now, the nurse told me that I had to take a month of pills before I had sex with my boyfriend again. "Take all the pills around the circle," the nurse said. "All the pills around the circle." Yeah, right. I knew there was no way I'd make it halfway around that circle before I was having sex with my boyfriends again. Wait, did I say boyfriends? Yeah, that's what I meant. I had two boyfriends, and they were both named Bob. Yes, I was bobbing around. And here's an important thing to note. These Bobs did not know about one another. I was cheating on both of them. Now you might be wondering, why would I lie to these guys, a nice Catholic girl like myself? Well, you see, you guys, I was kind of a messed up teenager. 2 years before, when I was just 15, I was raped at a party, losing my virginity. It's another story altogether, but I will tell you that the guy was a 17-year-old kid from another school, and I never saw him again, and I never told anyone. About 6 weeks after that happened, I was sitting at the dinner table with my parents. All my brothers and sisters were out of the house. We were having grilled cheese and tomato soup, when all of a sudden, my mother pulls out the phone bill, waves it in the air, and in a louder voice than I had ever heard her use, said, 935? Who are you calling in the 935, Jack? We don't know anyone in the 935. We're 443. I looked at my dad, and I saw it in his eyes. Just a flash, but it was there. My dad had a girlfriend in the 935. Holy shit. He denied it, but only for a second, and then he calmly got up and walked out. The next day, when I got home from school, I could see my dad's closet door slightly open at the end of the hallway. I walked toward it and looked inside. It was empty. All of his suits and dress shirts were gone. The only thing in the closet was a yardstick in a yardstick cozy swinging from the back of the door where his ties used to be, and his deer hunting rifle was propped up in the back corner. My dad had walked out on 27 years of marriage and 6 kids and moved in with the lady in the 935, his tennis partner. And at this point, I didn't see my dad again for 9 years. So I'm 17 years old, dating the two Bobs, and the shit is about to hit the fan. And I'm not saying I'm not responsible for my own actions, but it's all my rapists and my dad's fault. Okay, let me break it down for you. I had a Bob at the beach in Ocean City, New Jersey, where I had just spent the summer serving frozen yogurt on the boardwalk. Beach Bobby and I used to go out on his Hobie Cat and have sex on the catamaran. For birth control, Beach Bobby and I used the pull-out method. Definitely not 100% effective and messy. Oh, also, Beach Bobby used to like to go down on me with a flashlight. Just to look. Then I had a Bob I just met at school. He was a sophomore and in the Betas, a fraternity I recently got involved with as a little sister. The Betas were the cool stoner fraternity on campus, and I fit in quite well. Beta Bob and I used to have sex in his dorm room on a twin bed underneath a Christy Brinkley poster, the one of her in that navy cutout one-piece bathing suit. For birth control, we also used the pull-out method. So messy. Let me just tell you, those birth control pills were a really good idea. It's December, and one of my sisters was getting married. Now, I'm the maid of honor, and I needed a date. So did I take Beta Bob, who lived 6 stories above me, in the same dorm? No, that would be too easy. I decided instead to import Beach Bobby from New Jersey. Did Beach Bobby and I plan to stay at the wedding hotel for the weekend? No, we would stay in my dorm room to save money. You know, only 6 stories below Beta Bob, who I had told I wasn't taking a date to the wedding because I'd be too busy with my sister, you know, as the maid of honor. Beta Bob is suspicious. I can tell. So it's Friday afternoon, the day before the wedding. I'm in my dorm room waiting for the call from Beach Bobby to tell me that he's arrived, and then I'll go down to the lobby and sign him in. My phone rings, and I answer it confidently. Hi, Bob. I thought it was Beach Bobby downstairs. But it wasn't. It was Beta Bob, sounding none too pleased. He asks if I have any friends coming into town. And of course I say, no, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm busy with my sister and the wedding. Now what I didn't know was that Beta Bob didn't believe me when I said I wasn't taking a date to the wedding. He was suspicious like I thought, and he knew about my summer romance with Beach Bobby. And he had just seen a guy carrying luggage and a bunch of daisies in his arms on campus. Now, the daisies are important to note because I love daisies. I mean, I have a daisy tattooed on my ass. Both Bobs knew this. They brought me daisies all the time. Here's some advice, girls. When you tell guys you like a cheap flower, you get more. So Beta Bob says, well, Christy, why don't you come up to my room to say goodbye properly since I won't see you all weekend? And of course, I can't say no because then he'll know I'm lying. So I take the elevator from the 9th floor to the 15th floor, and as soon as I get off the elevator, I hear Neil Young wafting down the hallway. Neil Young was always my go-to sex music. It still is. The door to Beta Bob's room is wide open, and he pulls me close to him and starts kissing me, telling me how much he's going to miss me over the weekend. And then he asks for a massage. Well, what am I going to say, you guys? The next thing you know, we're underneath a Christy Brinkley poster, and you guys, you have to understand, Beta Bob is so hot. Think athlete, six-pack abs, the kind of body you want to climb. And then Beta Bob, you know what he did? He got me to have sex with him to prove that I wasn't doing exactly what I was doing. He tricked me. How dare he? We have fast and furious college sex. No pull-out necessary, thank you, birth control pills. Then I throw my clothes on, tell Beta Bob I gotta go, and then I rush for the elevator and take it to the lobby to meet Beach Bobby, who I know must be there by now. The elevator doors open, and sure enough, there's Beach Bobby with an armful of daisies. 10 minutes later, Beach Bobby and I are in my dorm room on the 9th floor. I pop Heart of Gold into the cassette player, he gets the flashlight, and now we're having fast and furious college sex. You guys, you have to understand, Beach Bobby is so hot. Think surfer, beach guy, six-pack abs, you know, the kind of body you want to climb. Okay, yeah, I have a type. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Christy, you in there? It was Beta Bob. I froze. Beach Bobby froze. Christy, I thought for sure I am totally busted. I mean, this is the end. But then the knocking stops and he goes away. And I tell Beach Bobby that it must have been this friend of mine who had been sick earlier in the day and I really should go check on him, you know, make sure he's okay. And Beach Bobby believes me. I pull my clothes on and I run down the hallway. I skip the elevator altogether this time and I run up 6 flights of stairs to Beta Bob's room. And when I get to the room, he confronts me. What the hell was that all about? I heard you having sex. And I say, what are you talking about? I wasn't even in the room. It must have been my roommate. I was visiting my sick friend Mary on another floor. And here's the thing, you guys. Beta Bob believed me. I got away with it. I lied and I cheated. It came naturally to me. It's like I was my dad. The next day, Beach Bobby and I went to my sister's wedding and I watched her take her marriage vows. I couldn't help but think, I am a horrible person. I lie and I cheat and I'll never be married. I was devastated, racked with guilt about cheating on those guys and I had no one to talk to about it. My eyes are puffy and red in all of my sister's wedding pictures because I cried all day. I'm in this green satin bridesmaid's dress with big hair and braces on my teeth, and I'm crying. I was a hot mess. But the good news is, you guys, I wasn't married. I was on birth control. And look, at the end of the day, it was just college sex. Okay, so there you go. Sort of sad, right? I mean, I like to think of this as a cautionary tale, you know? Like to really stay in your kid's life, know what's going on. I mean, it's funny because even though I'm from a large family, I was like totally on my own. Maybe that's just being the youngest in the family and everybody moves on, but I don't know. I feel like because I only have one child, I plan to know everything going on in her life. Is that naive? It's not going to happen, is it? Look, I know she's going to make poor choices for sure, but I really do write a lot of these stories down from my life to help her, to show her, you know? Really. I write down all of my mistakes in hopes that, you know, my daughter can learn from them. I'm dreaming, huh? Well, maybe somebody else will learn. Anyway, you guys, thanks for listening to my 9th Closet Confessional. Let me know what you guys think. Tweet me at Storyworthy. And while you're over there on Facebook, like the Storyworthy page too, would you? And if you're really feeling kind, get over to Apple Podcasts and leave Storyworthy a good review. I always need this. 5 stars and a good review. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a really interesting story by writer Brock Wilbur.
And my grandparents sit and think about it for a few days. And then they decide, we're going to get that kid out of Bosnia.
Don't miss this incredible story from writer Brock Wilbur next week on Storyworthy. I want to thank everyone over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer, but especially a big thank you to you guys, my Storyworthy audience. Really, by tuning in every week, you guys make this happen. So on behalf of all of you, thank you so much for listening. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.